Good evening and thank you for staying tuned to GNCR on 93.6 FM. The time is 6 p.m. and this is the program Heartlines with our guest Craig Bouchier. I'm your host, Larisse Faree. Craig, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, Larisse. It's a joy to be with you again and a joy to be with our listeners.
Now, Craig, today we're ending off a series on value and money, and it has been running for a few weeks now. And we've already been so enriched by hearing about honesty in earning. I think that was the first one. We had responsibility yes. in spending, wisdom in borrowing. And for that one, we had Romy Govender in. She's from Finesse Debt Counseling. She joined us on the topic of debt and the role of a debt counselor. Last week, we covered self-control in saving. And I'm excited to hear what you're going to bring us to end the series off in today's session. So, Craig, what's the final value that we'll be discussing today?
Yeah, the final one is generosity in giving. And it's one I love them all, but I think this one is a special in that we're in a time when there's so much need all around us. And so just to hear what generosity and giving is all about, and also how does God see that?
So, Craig, what do you think are some of the thoughts that pop into somebody's head when they hear about generosity in giving?
Yeah, I think one of the first things that come when the thought of giving comes in is, well, okay, what's it going to cost me? How much am I going to lose? Because now I've got to give something away. And we can often think, you know, will I have enough left for myself? And so these are the kinds of things that generally would pop into our heads when it comes to being generous in our giving. But it's something that we can work through and move beyond because it is part of our mindset. And so I think as we consider being generous in our giving, we can begin to shift to a new place.
So what are some of the reasons or the motivations for giving?
Yeah, I think... In giving, it has been shown that being generous is good for your mental health, it's good for you emotionally, and your spiritual health. And in fact, giving makes you feel good. And I'm reminded of the scripture that says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Even though in the natural, we would think, you know, it's always nice to receive. But in fact, I think you'd find from your own experience, and I know definitely from mine, I always receive much greater joy if I'm being generous than if I'm actually receiving a blessing from someone.
Now, Craig, could you talk us through some of the purpose behind generosity as a Christian? Why do you think generosity should be part of a Christian's life?
Well, I think if we look at it from God's perspective and we think of the fact that we have a generous God, I mean, God is generous. And when we look at what he's given, firstly, the greatest gift he gave us was the gift of his son, which is priceless. You can't even put a price on it. You can't even calculate the cost of that. And so I think from God himself as our father, we see this God that has this generous heart. But then we also see with Jesus, and you know, like I said, when we look at Acts 20:35, he says, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive." And when we look at the life of Jesus, as we read the Gospels, you always see Jesus giving of himself. You always see him, whether it was feeding people, whether it was healing people, whether it was showing compassion to people, you see an example in the life of Jesus as somebody who was incredibly generous.
Now, Craig, we have all this motivation and purpose in giving, but let's talk a bit about some of the obstacles. What makes it so difficult for us to be generous in our giving?
Yeah, I think at if we think of our present situation within our country, there's no question these are tough times. I mean, they were tough before COVID, before the unrest, before the floods. It was tough. Unemployment at an all-time high. When we consider we have an unemployment rate in the country of over 30%, and I believe it's about 35%, and there's different percentages that are thrown around. But either way, everyone is, we weigh over 30% unemployment, which means people are, there's a lot of people in poverty, people are in desperate need. And with that, it can become very easy for us to just close off and say, hey, times are tough. Even for people who might be wealthy or have loads of resources, just because that's the current climate in the country and it's the narrative that we hear every day, that these are tough times, interest rates are on the rise, we can then very easily begin to clam up and close our ranks and say, hey, I need to take care of myself. Yeah. And so it does require that self has to die in this process so that we do not become people who only think of themselves. You know, I'm reminded of a Egyptian proverb, and it says, an onion shared with a friend tastes like roast lamb. And I thought, it's quite a quirky comment, but it's so true that when you take what you have and you share it, it has, God has a way of multiplying. And I think if we think of the story of the five loaves and the fish, when Jesus says, you know what, I want you to take it and break it and feed the people, there was a multiplication that took place. And it reminds me of another proverb, a quote by Anne Frank, who was a young girl in the Nazi concentration camp, who said, no one has ever become poor by giving. And so we should never think that if we are going to be generous and if we are going to be giving people, that we would now not have. That won't happen. And so we're going to have to overcome the mindset and shift our mindset that, you know what, even if I had less than I had before, am I still able to share with others?
You know, as you were mentioning all these factors, it's crazy, but really some sort of anxiety and fear can really build up in a person when you consider the state of things, the state of our country, and, you know, even the state of the worldwide with the war between Russia and Ukraine and the impact that's having on, you know, petrol prices and even food. So it's so crazy how, as we consider generosity in giving, we really need to keep our eyes fixed on God. And as you've brought out so beautifully, it's the self that needs to die, because it's the self that gets fearful, you know, for my survival and my comfort very often. So it's so interesting. But Craig, when we speak about generosity, are we limiting this conversation to financial giving, or do we refer to generosity in giving beyond money?
Oh, you are so, I'm glad you raised that, Larice. In fact, it is beyond money. Yes, that's the first thing we normally think about when it's giving, but it's way more than that. And that is why it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how resourced we are or how few resources we have. Everybody has the potential to be generous in their giving. And if we think of that, you know, some of the ways we can be generous is by love, loving others. And sometimes that is just taking the time to sit with somebody, to listen to their story, to be a ear that they may not have, and show love through that way by being kind to each other. You know, I think this morning I happened to be a, I happened to be going down a staircase and there was somebody that came in the opposite direction. And so I stopped, moved aside and gave them way to come through. And they were looking at me and saying, no, you carry. I said, no, please continue. And they were so grateful. And all I did was pause for a few seconds, allow them to pass by, feeling respected and comfortable. And that meant something. And so this kindness, we might have food, we might have clothing, you know, I believe that, you know, with clothing, for me, every 6 months, I check through my wardrobe. I ask myself, you know, what have I not worn in the last 6 months? What is still good that somebody else would appreciate and actually then pass that on to those in need? But the other is time, time. You can give of your time. You know, there's so many causes that require somebody's time. There's our skills, and time and skills would go together often, in that we might have a skill. We might even be retired and you might say, well, you're not, I'm just a pensioner. I got nothing to offer. What skills do you have that you could pass on to somebody else and teach somebody else? And so there's many, many different ways that we can be generous in our giving. And it's okay if you do not have money to give. You may just be the one that can show love. You might be the one that can be kind to others. You might be the one that has a set of skills that are needed, be it by a nonprofit organization, be it in the church, be it in some ministry outreach. You have that. Be generous with that, because somebody else will be blessed through that.
Craig, I think what you're really bringing out for us is that generosity, yes, it's more than money. It's beyond money, but it's a lifestyle. It's about whatever you have, whatever God has blessed you with and built into your life, taking that and sharing it with those around you. And generosity is such a beautiful principle. But do you have some guidelines for us as to how we can start giving?
Yes, definitely. The first thing is, I would say, be intentional, because there are certain things that will never take place if we are not intentional about it. And I believe with giving, it's one of those things that requires an intentionality. And I'm reminded of the scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. And I think probably one of the most powerful scriptures on how we should consider our giving and how we can go about it. It says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And so in our giving, we must be intentional, but in our giving, we must decide how much, what, when. So we've made up our minds about it. And then the way to do that is not to be reluctant about it, not to be because somebody's putting you under pressure. And we know there's times people can try and manipulate others to give and to be put under pressure to do so. Not that. That's not scriptural. But God wants us to make a conscious decision. He wants us to do this cheerfully, because God loves people who give, and they're giving out of a good heart. You know, because I think when you give out of a good heart, there is God's blessing upon you. There is God's favor upon you. In fact, you know, within that also, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, because what I am finding more and more today is that if people give, many people want to be recognized for it. They want to be honored for it. You must put a plaque up. You must announce it to the world. You know, let the whole of social media know that you've been giving this stuff. No, that's not what the kind of giving that we learn in the scripture. In fact, we must give, and if nobody knows we've done it, all the better. You know, and so I would encourage people as they take this step and this journey to giving, do it God's way, not man's way. You know, it might be, and one of those ways might be as a family, depending on what your family setup is. You might say, well, okay, let's have the family together, the children, the parents. What about if we make a list of people or causes that we would like to support, something that might be tugging at our hearts? And then let's develop a plan to start giving, even if it is small. It's not about the size. You know, if we remember the story in the Bible about the widow who gave her mite, it was the smallest coin available, but that was all she had, and she gave. And in God's eyes, she had given the most out of everyone. Yet others had put much bigger denominational coins or notes of the day. But because she gave from her heart and she gave everything, it was seen by God as being great giving. And so I would encourage families to make it part of a family culture. Even the family, depending on your resources, you could create a fund that is used as a family so that regular giving can take place. You know, you might have a situation where there's some work that needs to be done, but you've got resources there. You maybe don't do it yourself, but actually hire somebody to do it so that they can get that income. And so our intentionality must go with doing it the way God encourages us to do it.
Craig, it's interesting for me when you bring up that story of the woman who took her mite and literally gave her all, and how God recognized that as more than what other people were giving. I think that technically all of us have the hands to share. All of us have something to be generous with, but for some reason, some people seem to be more prone to giving and others just don't. So does generosity start in our hands, or does it actually start in our head?
That is a very, very good point, Clarice. I would say that, and if I can just cite an example of, I think, what's helped me to be generous in my life, and I know there's probably room for me to be even more generous, is what I saw modeled with my parents and how they went about life. And so I think it's something we learn within the family as to, you know, how do we deal with money? How do we deal with our possessions? How do we deal with our generosity? I think it's something that is learned within a family. I think it's something that if we are in pursuit of God and wanting to live the way God wants us to live, it's something that God can move in our hearts. And as he moves in our hearts, that he would move in our minds so that we become this new creation. And that new creation is really having a new mindset, a new shift as to how we go about dealing with the resources God has entrusted us with. And so I think it definitely, it's heart and mind almost simultaneously, but probably there's a half a second pause between, and then it means our hands have to extend out to others. And so I think that is what God's heart is all about, you know. And I said, you know, there's a saying I love, you know, and it says, never look down on somebody unless you're reaching out to lift them up. And so in our giving, it does require an extension of our hands towards someone.
Craig, could you speak to us a bit about that mindset? The shift, as we've touched on, becoming a new creation, but what is the mindset shift that needs to happen in this process?
I think with the giving, I think there's there's two mindsets I'd like to cite here. And the one is a poverty mindset. And what do I mean by that? A poverty mindset is someone who believes they will never have enough. And this can make it difficult to be generous or to be happy with what you have. And so it will cause you to hold on to possessions, time, talents, because you're worried it will run out. And so that is a poverty mindset. In fact, a poverty mindset is not reserved for people who are in poverty. Mm. You can be very wealthy and have a poverty mindset. And a person with very little can have a generous mindset. And I think, you know, we just cited the widow with her mite. She was somebody who was really on the side of poverty, but she had a generous mindset. And a generous mindset is one who knows how to give, whether they are in need or have plenty. They've learned to be generous even when times are tough. They believe generosity comes with its own blessings. And so what mindset you have when it comes to giving is absolutely important. And even today for our listeners, if for the one who's listening and you say, you know what, I think I have a poverty mindset, well, I pray and I ask you to seek God, ask him to help you to shift so that you will have a generous mindset, because a generous mindset is not determined by how much we have, but it's determined by the attitude of our hearts and the decisions we make in our minds as to how we deal with our giving. And, you know, and I think a beautiful scripture is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and it says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." And if we go to the preceding verses, it speaks about when we give, we mustn't give. When we sow, we mustn't sow sparingly, but we must be generous in our sowing. And then the benefit of that is that God will be generous towards us. And so, you know, yes, don't give because of what God's going to do for you, but you know what? What a blessing, what a bonus, the fact that God will be generous towards us if we are generous towards others.
Craig, I'm so glad that you've brought up this concept of God actually honoring generous giving. I know my older sister and her husband, they decided that there was this girl, they were going to support her because she was a missionary and she reaches out to the youth and she really just loves working with the young people. But obviously ministry doesn't always equal financial stability. So they decided to just sow into her life. And a few years down the line, this girl was able to reach out to a young university student who was just attending her first classes. And she met her at university and she started speaking with her and investing into her life. And this led this young girl to Christ and she decided to give her heart to the Lord. She decided to become baptized and to go fully for the Lord. And that young girl who gave her life was my younger sister.
Wow.
And the interesting thing was my older sister and her husband could never imagine that their giving, their faithful giving, would reap such a blessing. And here God used this missionary that they were financially supporting. And, you know, what we got out of that was so much more than the financial gift that they were able to impart.
Wow, that is such a beautiful story and a great example of what giving can accomplish. Because the truth is, only eternity will reveal everything we've done here on earth for God. Eternity will reveal it. And I believe there'll be much more revealed when we meet God one day than what we know of while it is all taking place. And you know, not so long ago, there was a young man that I knew. He was in the youth group that I was the youth pastor of many years ago. He'd since moved to Johannesburg and gone on with his life. I hadn't seen him for a number of years, then bumped into him. And he said to me, he says, you know, Craig, when I think of where I am today, it's actually because of you. Do you remember when you paid for my computer studies? The truth is, Larice, I could not even remember paying for them. And when he looked at me and he's telling me, I said, you know, the truth is I can't remember. He says, no, you did. Remember, I came to you and this is what you said, da, 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 da. And yet it is. And he then says to me, what can I do for you? I know you have a son that is chronically ill. How can I help? What can I do? And do you know what? It was one, the greater blessing was to know that what had been done for him, it had propelled him forward, that today he's a businessman and he's done extremely well. And that was the big thing. But at the same time saying, what can I do for you? And so we never know how our giving is going to play out and what it's going to accomplish.
Sure, Craig. And that story of how your generosity had an effect, a domino effect on him, and how you almost modeled generosity for him and he was able to embrace that in his life. So how can living a life of generosity impact our families and our homes?
Yeah, I would like to encourage parents to teach generosity to their children, encourage their children to give, find ways that motivate their children to give. Let them see kindness, let them see love shared in the home, because when they grow older, they would know that, you know what, this is how I'm meant to live. We live in a world where everything is about self. In fact, as we speak, there's probably millions of selfies being taken now on people's phones because it's all about self. And so I would encourage parents to teach their children to be generous, but also be creative in ways that they can practice it. You know, for me, when my son was very little, as a child, every year, just before Christmas, he would have to choose a toy that he liked and give it away to somebody who did not have. He couldn't choose a broken one. He had to choose one that was going to cost him something. And we did that for many, many years. Today, I've got a watch, even though he's an adult, because literally he would give anything away if he sees somebody in need. And so I just think that was a small thing, but it made a huge imprint on his life in terms of being generous with what he has.
Craig, thank you so much for your time this evening. Just as we end off this session and also this series on value and money, do you have any final words that can maybe help and encourage the listeners to make a personal commitment to generosity in giving?
Yeah, I'd just like to put two questions to our listeners in terms of considering committing towards giving. There's one, what can I commit to give each month for the next few months of this year? What can I commit to give each month? Even if it's the littlest, make a commitment and give it. The second one is there a friend or family that could benefit from my giving? And the last thing I'd like to say, Larice, is generosity is a value that only has power when it is lived out. We can't only think or dream about giving. We got to live it out. And so I would like to encourage our listeners to live generosity out.